3 a.m. Again, why did I ever think this was a good idea?
Welcome to the Rise and Run podcast. Join our group of Run Disney friends as we talk about running at Walt Disney World and beyond. We'll discuss recent runs, training, upcoming races, and surprise topics suggested by you, our listeners. Well, the alarm's gone off, so let's go.
Hello, Rise and Run friends. This is Brandy, your mud runner friend from Houston, Texas. I am calling in this introduction from Tokyo Disney, where I had a beautiful run this morning along Tokyo Bay. Look forward to seeing you guys next week for Springtime Surprise. Thanks for the awesome podcast. Bye.
Good morning, Rise and Run crew. My name is Brandy, calling all the way from Gainesville, Florida, just a couple hours north of Orlando. Most importantly, I just wanted to say looking forward to Springtime Challenge, but most specifically excited because I am running with my patients. I have been a cancer nurse for over 20 years, and I am running with Daniel and his family, who is a bone cancer survivor. I hope to find you guys either before or after the race to introduce you to my wonderful friend Daniel, who is 16, and his family, who are just great people. So we're going to be celebrating Daniel and our Team Daniel shirts on Friday and running with him for the 5K. So hope you guys are doing great and look forward to seeing you there. Have a great day.
We bring you, my friends, not one Brandy, but two to introduce episode 134 of the Rise and Run podcast. Let me explain, please. The first one, Brandy with a Y from Tokyo Disneyland, sent that to us. I thought, this is great. It'd be a good intro. We're talking about Springtime Surprise. And a few hours later, Brandy with an I from Gainesville sends another one, which certainly, as you heard, ties in directly with Springtime Surprise. So what the heck? Two Brandies for the price of one. Thank you very much. We appreciate it. Look forward to seeing you. In fact, look around. Look around. We might be there already. Just wave. Hi, my friends. Welcome to episode 134 of the Rise and Run podcast. It is Expo Day. I'm Bob. I'm here tonight, which is not Expo Day where we are, with Greg.
Hey, hey, hey.
With John.
Hey, how you doing?
And with Lexi.
Hello.
Good to see you guys. Greg, now, as we're saying this, I might actually be seeing you. This time we're...
It's fine. We're going back and forth on our Mandalorians.
Yeah.
It's great. And
that's right.
We're having a ton of fun.
The time warp thing is tough, but it's exciting. It's a little bit, you know, it's the end of the race season, but we're glad to be down there. On this week's episode, we're going to revisit with our friend Taryn. Race report spotlight. This happens every now and again, my friends, and it's no one's fault whatsoever, but I try to get in touch with somebody, and I'm not able to do it, and therefore, no race report spotlight this week. We'll make up for it, I promise.
Well, and also makes sense, too. I mean, if you think about it, you know, day of recording, the Boston Marathon was literally just yesterday. People are probably still traveling back. So trust me, we'll capture all the majors because we've got another major coming up this weekend, too.
We do. London's coming up the same week that we're in Disney World. Friends, if you enjoy the podcast, please share us with your friends. Help grow this wonderful family. Introduce them to the Rise and Run podcast, and let's share in their Run Disney journey. Please remember to follow us on Facebook at Rise and Run Podcast, on Instagram at Rise and Run Pod, and check out our YouTube channel. You can also visit our webpage, riseandrunpodcast.com. You got a question, a comment, a race report, or if you want to introduce an upcoming episode, call us. The hotline number is 727-266-2344. Leave us a recorded message, just as the Brandies did.
We also want to thank our Patreons whose support helps us keep the Rise and Run podcast rising and running. If you'd like to join the Patreon team, please check out patreon.com/riseandrunpodcast. Okay, and also we have a new Patreon this week, Cat Jack. Welcome aboard, Cat Jack.
Thank you very much.
The Rise and Run podcast is sponsored by our friends over at Magic Bound Travel. We are so excited to see Brad and Maggie here at Springtime Surprise, and as well as a bunch of other agents that will be down there for this particular race weekend. And, you know, and I know week after week, you know, we keep saying, hey, this registration's around the corner, that registration's around the corner. But, you know, if you really think about it, Magic Bound just does more than race weekend registrations. You know, right now we are in the thick of it in terms of, you know, what are we going to do on our summer vacations or something like that? So, you know, if you're interested in going to Disney World, going on a Disney cruise, a Royal Caribbean cruise, or, you know, that other park that begins with a U that I'm not allowed to say because that was a curse word in my household growing up, they can book all of those vacation packages for you. So if you're interested in planning an awesome summer vacation this year, be sure to give our friends over at Magic Bound Travel a visit. MagicBoundTravel.com is the website.
Thanks, Greg.
And Greg, it's universal. I can say it. I'm allowed.
Okay, you're allowed. I'm not. I still live by the rules that I'm not allowed to say, you know, the other park, and I'm still not allowed to watch The Simpsons because that was just a rule I had. So, you know,
I'm going to be at that other park tomorrow, which is yesterday again in this weird time warp thing. So
every time you say time warp, I'm just picturing Tim Curry from Rocky Horror.
Yep.
And I want to do the dance now.
If that helps, Jenny.
It's just a jump to the left.
And then a step to the right. Put your hands on your hips. Okay. I'm done.
Okay. That's a new idea, guys. How about a Rise and Run Rocky Horror Picture Show night?
Love it.
I would be no help whatsoever. But that's okay. That's okay. I'll sit back and enjoy it. Okay, let us look at the training schedule. Something that is always, I don't know, entertained. Jeff Galloway's training schedules, you know, there's mileage on the training schedule for next week for Springtime Surprise after the race. He's got a week on after, and I get it. It's, you know, kind of complete the circuit, keep going, don't stop just because your race is over. I get it, but in fact, as we know, of course, if you're listening to this on its release day, it is Expo Day. Springtime Surprise is here. No training this weekend. This is the reward. This is what you've been doing all that training for. So it's time to enjoy it. Let me look down here. The one thing I think I want to highlight on this schedule in front of me, I will highlight two things, all right? We are now 20 weeks away from our next Disney run. Disneyland Halloween is 20 weeks away. Training has not begun for that yet. It will in a couple of weeks. Training for Marathon Weekend starts in 74 days.
Wow.
Right. If you're running one of the big events, if you're running the marathon or one of the challenges, training starts in 74 days. It's starting to warm up down here in Florida and put
in
me
Georgia
to mind.
Too.
No, I'm sure. I'm sure it's not the only place. It probably, and I always feel silly giving the forecast for the weekend of the race because you're there, but I'm looking at 92 on Saturday, 90 on Sunday. It was 90 here or 89. I'm not sure. And it gets me to thinking about training for Dopey and getting up at 5 a.m. or 4 a.m. when, and I'm not making this up, when it's still 82 degrees out here. And that's the tough part. But look, let's talk about that later. Let's enjoy the fact that we're here for a race weekend, and it's fun. Waivers have been out for a long time. Expo passes came out. Expo passes can give you some vague idea of what corral you may be in, but nothing like we used to get in the past. Back in the day, my friends, when you had these waivers that you actually had to sign and bring with you, you'd have your bib number on there, and you would know what corral you were going to be in. Or you were very confident anyway. Now you really don't know until you pick up your bib. So we'll see how that goes. What kind of race weekend tips can we share with our friends?
Hydrate!
Well, that's a good one. And in fact,
and not the alcoholic hydration either.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
I thought ciders at the expo counted.
Ciders at the expo, it could be.
But could seriously, be. If you were listening to this on release day on Thursday, your hydration, even for Sunday, starts today.
Yeah. And in fact, Lexi, what I wanted to say is, yes, when you said hydrate, I said, yes, start today. And I realized, no, today is 2 days ago. And I'm not going to play on that time back and forth thing. But I mean, really, if you could have, or we maybe should have mentioned it last week, for hot weather, yeah, start as early as you can.
Mm-hmm.
And a week out is not crazy. So if you're listening on Thursday and you're not running till Saturday or Sunday, yeah, when you're back in the hotel room or wherever you are,
get and you can get free cups of water anywhere on Disney property.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I will say they are starting to make it a little bit harder, you know, to secure those. And like everything else, I feel like in America right now, everything is shrinking as well too. You know, before, mm-hmm. you know, you could get like the really, really big cup of water, and now it's just like the, you know, the kids cup or whatever. But, you know, usually, you know, any quick service restaurant, you know, you can go just go up to the counter and ask for the cup of water. I know there's a couple of spots, like the one that I always remember is in Hollywood Studios at both Baseline Tap House and Ronto Roasters in Galaxy's Edge. They usually have like a really big, like decorative water jug, you know, that they're always constantly refilling with ice water. So, you know, if you just happen to be, you know, in the parks and carrying around a water bottle, you know, definitely, you know, look for those too. And the other thing too is, you know, and I kind of did this my last trip as well during marathon weekend, is, you know, say you have a meal, you know, at a quick service restaurant, you know, and if you can hold on to your cup, you know, find those quick service restaurants that have the refillable beverage stations, you know, ones that come off the top of my head. Now, I don't think there's any in Magic Kingdom, but, you know, in Epcot, I'm thinking Regal Eagle Smokehouse, the Connections Eatery, Sunshine Seasons, Animal Kingdom. I think the only one is Satouli Canteen. And then in Hollywood Studios, I think you have it at Docking Bay 7, the Backlot Express, and the ABC Commissary. All of those have the refillable beverage stations, and there's water on there as well. So again, you know, like Lexi said, it's really, really important to stay hydrated for sure.
I think also if you forgot any fuel, you can get that at the expo. Any goos or gels. I know for me, which is not the same with everybody, but for me, I have to fuel a little bit more frequently on the longer run. So maybe on the 10 miler, I would fuel every 30 minutes instead of every 40 minutes, just because you're sweating more. And if you didn't pack for that kind of fuel, pick some up at the expo.
Yeah, this is one time of the year where I will consider taking the salt shoes that you can get at the expo. Not salt tablets, these salt shoes. I kind of like those.
It's going to be hot, so it might not be the perfect time for a PR. So you might just want to drop your pace down a little bit for those, that, like maybe for the 10-miler, because if it starts getting hot and sweaty, you don't want to, what do you call it, burn yourself out too quickly in that race.
No, John, that's a fantastic tip. You know, for those of us that are Galloway runners, you know, the rule of thumb that Jeff loves to preach in warm weather is that you should be slowing down 30 seconds per mile for every 5 degrees over 60. So I've seen plenty of graphics, thanks to, you know, Ryan doing his awesome, you know, Weatherman 7 day forecast graphics. But you know, I haven't really looked at what the temperature is going to be at race time. But
oh, yeah.
definitely take that into account, and you know, just, you know, be smart. You know, obviously we don't know what's going to happen. We're going to have to play by ear, but you know, also be cognizant of the flags that Run Disney will post in terms of at the expo and prior to the race. You know, sometimes, heck, I think this happened at Marathon Weekend 2 years ago, is even though in the corrals we all had Mylar blankets on, the flag, I remember, got raised to a yellow, you know, which, you know, prompted, you know, like Galloway Pacers to have to bump back, you know, certain spots and everything like that. So just, you know, be aware of those and be smart. And really, I guess the overarching theme of this whole entire conversation is just listen to your body and make smart decisions.
Oh, hey, and hydrate.
And hydrate.
Again, forecasting for something 2 days from now when people are listening to it on the day. But the race temps are going to start about 70, probably. High 60s up to 70 degrees. So it's going to be warm.
I've noticed this in some other races. Yeah, it might be cool starting out in the morning. Don't skip those first water stations, because you're going to pay for it later on.
Something I mention at every race, folks, if you've been there before, you know this. Friends who are going to be there for the first time, and we have quite a few, which is always wonderful. Be patient at Run Disney events.
And be kind to your fellow runner.
They're very crowded. You're not going to win. You're not going to qualify for the Olympics at these events. You could PR, but that's not really what they're there for. They're there to enjoy and to have fun. So I promise you, you're going to get boxed in. You're going to get boxed in somewhere where you want to go around people and they're going to be walking in front of you or something. Be patient. It will open back up. I agree. Be kind. And just enjoy the event and have fun. But if you're mentally ready for it, I think it makes it a whole lot easier. Any other race tips, kids?
Biggest one, have fun.
PR and fun.
All right, friends, before we go to our feature interview for the week, allow me to remind you, this is roll call week. So when we get back from visiting with our friend Taryn, we will get to the springtime surprise roll call. But in the meantime, please enjoy this interview we did with Taryn Terrell. Oh gosh, I think it was early in 23 that Taryn visited with us.
So I am extremely hyped for our next guest here. We have Taryn, who is a retired professional wrestler with a career with WWE, Impact Wrestling, and NWA. She was the TNA Knockouts champion, with having a reign that lasted 279 days. Which actually became the longest reign in the title's history until 2019. But, you know, if that didn't impress you already. She is also a stunt woman, which I'm super, like, in awe of, with some of her highlights in TV and movies like Now You See Me, Jurassic World, and even most recently, she stunt doubled as Catherine Zeta-Jones in the new National Treasure show on Disney+. Again, she's a trick of all trades. She's not only a stunt woman, but she's also an actress, which is super cool. And now you are a Run Disney addict like us. Welcome to the family, my friend.
Thank God I found it.
So we are really super excited for you to be here. And we are just so excited to also hear your story. So first off, welcome to the Rise and Run podcast.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
First off, if it's okay, can you tell us your story and how you became a pro wrestler?
Oh my gosh. Okay. So we should rewind about 20 years, where I was much, much younger, and I got out of high school. I was a power lifter in high school and a cheerleader. And then I cheered in college. And then I was like, I think a lot of people can probably relate to this, because when you are a high school athlete, a college athlete, and then you're done with that, it's like almost a mourning process where you're like, oh my gosh, like this was my whole life and it was something athletic. What do I do with that? Like, it's just gone. So at the time, I kind of was like going through that process. And I also really was always intrigued by the entertainment industry. And so I sort of had it in my brain that like I was going to somehow get there. I didn't know how, but somehow I was going to get there. So I started modeling, just doing like convention modeling, like working as like trying to sell oil rigs and all kinds of like crazy stuff that I was like, hey, would you be interested in buying this new plastic that, you know, like that type of person at conventions. And then I like that kind of evolved and I started working in LA a little bit to like bigger modeling jobs. And then I was doing an appearance in Las Vegas and WWE happened to be casting at the same hotel that I was doing a modeling appearance. And so I had a friend who was like super humongous wrestling fan and he was like, dude, you gotta go, you gotta go. Okay, I had no voice at the time, like completely hoarse. And I went and then I ended up booking their like reality show that they were doing at the time. And I made it all the way till fourth place. So that kind of was my journey into wrestling.
Cool.
Oh, wow. That is so cool. And then so going from wrestling into stunt work, how did that transition go into it?
So when I used to work at WWE, we always had a stunt coordinator on staff. His name was Ellis Edwards. And he was like, he was just great. And he had all of this information. I used to sit back in like the production lounge and just sort of like pick his brain about it because it's something I was always interested in. And like I said, I mean, I knew I was at WWE and that was like really cool job and I loved it. But then I was like, what could be better than this? Stunts. Why not stunts? And I mean, essentially, like we're literally just, we're doing fights all day, every day. So I'm like, this could really transition, you know, well into that. And so I would ask him and I was like, so when are you going to tell me about stunts? And he's like, I honestly, if I tell you anything, like Vince McMahon was running the company at the time. And he was like, Vince would be so mad if I was like, here's a new career, leave this career and go to this one. So he's like, I can't tell you anything. So when I left there, I got in touch with him right away. And then he was nice enough to give me his contacts because it's a huge reputation and like, you know, who you know type of a business. And so he got me in touch with a couple of stunt coordinators and I was like, okay, this is it. I'm going to make it. And they were like, yeah, sorry, you don't have your SAG card, which is the Screen Actors Guild.
Right.
And you can only get it if you work and you can only work if you have it.
Mm-hmm. That's yeah, catch 22.
It's so hard because I know Atlanta is not necessarily like that because I know LA is completely different. You can get your SAG card. I believe you have to work 3 background gigs or something like that or anything of like lines or whatever. I know in Atlanta it's optionable, but after a certain point, I think you are required to get it.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You're at the right to work state. And so you can work, but I think, yeah, I think there's like a cutoff to where it's like, okay, if you're continuing to work in this career, then you have to choose one or the other. And then also like just to get the benefits of the union and stuff, that's obviously worth it for a lot of people. So then I was like, well, shoot, how am I going to get my SAG card? So I ended up trying to act because I was like, I don't know, no stunt coordinator would give me a job. And I was like, okay, cool. So then I started going out for acting gigs and I booked one and I booked one line on the campaign and that was it. Yes. That was my end. I was like, yes, there I'm in. Go. And then I was able to start hustling and making my connections from there.
Taryn, was there not a union associated with wrestling?
No, believe it or not.
Oh, surprise. Yeah.
I know. Completely non-union. It probably would have been beneficial. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, it does. It helps protect people, you know. I mean, they're not rosy and perfect, but you know, it does help.
Of course, yeah.
Nothing, yeah. So I mean, and there was a thing like back in the day where they tried to unionize, and it got shut down immediately. So nobody ever tried to do it again. Everybody was like, "Oh yeah, we're losing our jobs if we make a union, so we're done."
Is there like one that you prefer over the other, the acting or stunt award?
Stunts. 100%.
I knew it. That sounds more like fun, right?
Well, it's so, like, I've always been physical. So for me, like, I know how to work like with my body and how to act with my body. But then like, when you tell me that you're going to be in my face and, oh, okay, here's an example. I had an audition the other day. This was the worst day of my life. I was like, oh my God. So I go and they tell me that I need to, I'm on a Zoom call. He's like looking at my face. He goes, okay, I need you to look like you're in pain. First, you stub your toe. Second, you get punched in the stomach. Third, somebody drops an anvil on your head. And so I start going through that. And he goes, no, no, no. You're making it with your face. I don't want to see your face. I only want to see your eyes move. Show me those three reactions with just your eyes. And I was like, what? Wow. I did not book that job. I got off with the phone with them and I called my husband and I was like, yes. Yeah, so thanks for prepping with me on that. I definitely didn't book that. So that was kind of a waste of time, but here we are. yeah. So I like stunts so much more. Now I do enjoy stunt acting, which like occasionally I do, and that's really fun. I have an upcoming gig where I get to die, which is like kind of what I do most of the time.
That's so amazing.
Dying. Like, what are you doing today? I'm going to go die on set. It's going to be great. So, and that's fun because it'll actually be me.
Yeah.
I don't know if I have any lines. It's weird because as actors, you know, if you have lines going in as stunts, you don't necessarily know.
Oh, really?
You'll show up the week before and they're like, oh yeah, you have this line. Like, oh, great. I could have prepared for that, but it's fine.
So like with the stunt work, is it more word of mouth or are you working through an agency? Because I know you said stunt actor as well. So I know in that respect, you might have an agent that would get you along the lines with that. Or is it just literally word of mouth?
Word of mouth. It's literally just
people.
It's really hard. And Jack, I saw that, or I was listening to an episode recently and you were talking about stunts. And I was like, oh shoot. But it's so hard because there is no agency for acting. You can sign up and then fit this mold and you fit this type of character and they submit you to those characters. For this, it's just like you have to hustle and send your resume out, your headshot to stunt coordinators, know what's going on, what's filming, and just make friends. And that is the industry.
I have a friend who's a stunt woman and she only specifically does stunts on roller skates. And
no
that's
way.
Her like niche. Yeah. So she was in the Birds of Prey movie with like
Margot Robbie.
Yeah, so she did. Yeah. She stunted Margot Robbie. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's so cool. Didn't the motorcycle pull?
There were two roller skating stunt people, and okay. I don't think she ended up being the one that did that, but she did do it as like, yeah. You know. They had both of them do it, but it's just it's really
let's
funny
try this. The motorcycle's gonna pull you in roller skates, let's see what happens.
What could go wrong, right?
Nothing, it's fine.
Well, actually, that was a question that I was going to ask, because you know, obviously you said you're really good at dying, but you know, what other types of, you know, physical stunts do you have to do? Like, you know, really the closest thing that I can think of to stunts in my life that make a Disney connection here is when we all go to see the Indiana Jones Epic Stunt Spectacular. You know, that's what, you know, my definition of stunts are. So like, what physical types of things do you do outside of dying each time you're on set?
So for example, the past 2 weeks I've been filming a sword fight.
Neat.
And I don't die. Since I said I don't die, I'm not going to tell you what it was, but when it comes out, I'll tag you guys so you know what show it
cool.
was.
Cool. Perfect. Very cool.
So, because that could be a spoiler alert, and then the network would be really unhappy with me.
All right.
One of the other, I've been set on fire, hit by cars.
Oh, my.
Fell downstairs, jumped out of, you know, 4-foot build. I don't do anything too high. Like, some people go up to, like, 100 feet. I'm good at the fourth floor. I'll jump out of that.
Fourth floor, yeah.
Yeah, I'll leave that to somebody who has like a better specialty, you know, a specialty.
Holy cow.
And then like there was a movie called Daddy's Home where Will Ferrell throws a basketball and it hits a cheerleader in the head and she's, you know, flat back. So that was me. So that was fun because it's like, you know, I don't die, but I certainly I took a basketball to the head.
That's cool.
And on that note, let me tell you a Disney stunt connection, which is really cool, is my husband was a stuntman at Lights Motors Action for many years.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So we're like, when we go, every time, you know, we're in Star Wars, we're like, we go and we see the little go-karts that are lined up. And it says Lights Motors Action in a different language or something. I don't know the exact, but that's pretty cool. So when I met him, and I saw that he had told me he worked for Disney, and then he showed me his little cast member thing. I was like, that's it. I'm in love.
Awesome.
So with all these different types of skill sets, are there certain stunt gyms you go to? And maybe and we'll get into this in a little bit later, do you use this sometimes as cross training efforts for running as well? Or like, so how does that all work? But yeah, how do you learn all these different kinds of skill sets? Because they all sound so amazing. I mean, first off, where did you learn how to get set on fire or what?
I mean, thankfully, there's a lot of amazing people in the industry. And once you're in, there's a lot of people that are willing to teach you what they know. And so at the time when I first got into it, there was a stunt gym in New Orleans, you know, and there's a lot like in Atlanta, in LA, obviously. But I went there to sort of learn basic parkour. I'm never going to get a job if it's a parkour job, but there are times that maybe I'm doubling an actress that she has a parkour move. So I need to know how to do like basics of everything. Wrestling taught me how to fall. And at the end of the day, that's your number one, because I will hit the ground super hard and I will hit the ground with that same punishment time after time after time. And then I'll complain when I get home. So, and I think there's things like sword fights, like that is not a specialty of mine. Some people, they've trained in swords their whole life. So the two or three jobs that I've had that are working swords, there's been somebody on set who teaches you the choreo. And so then you just learn it. And the other thing with wrestling is that it really teaches you how to pick up choreography super quick. You know, it's really easy for me to just have somebody show me what to do. And I'm like, okay, cool. And then I got it, you know? So a lot of skills are learned on set. Some stuff like getting set on fire, thankfully you have a whole team of people who work on you. They have clothes and ice and gel. And honestly, I will tell you, it feels like you're in clothes that just came out of the dryer. Oh. And you're like, oh, this is nice. I feel like I'm being given a hug.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is a wild question, but can you do like a Black Widow thing where you climb on top of the person and then like watcha it them to the ground? Like,
as long as they were willing to get watcha'd to the ground. I will say that like the last time I was in Disneyland and I was watching the stunt people and Spider-Man and stuff. I'm like, you know what? When I retire, I think this is where I want to go.
Oh, cool.
I'll just be Black Widow every day for the rest of my life. My husband goes, you're going to be old. And I'm like, it's fine. It's fine.
It Maybe is.
Lady Tremaine and Lady Tremaine will turn into a stunt woman. And it'll be
you know who you could be is in Fantasmic, Elizabeth Swann.
Okay. I can handle that.
Yeah.
Right. See, I've got my retirement plan. All like this is perfect.
There you go.
Yeah.
These are just such fascinating stories. Now, the one thing that I want to know with your time being on set, you know, like Jack mentioned in your intro, you know, you've done stunt work for Catherine Zeta-Jones, you know, in that new series right now. When I was doing some research to prepare for this interview, I think you were Christina Applegate's stunt double in Bad Moms. When you go to do the stunt work, do you get to meet the person that you are supposed to be stunting for? Or is it one of those things where like, okay, they call cut, they're off set, and then you get ushered in and you don't get to talk to them at all?
So it's a mix. So the days I doubled Christina, I was doing her driving for her. So she was on another set filming, and then I was doing her driving because they don't need to see that. On that particular movie, I also doubled Catherine Hahn, and we actually were working side by side because I would trip over. It's like a little chain link fence.
That was you.
Hey.
That was you. I've never seen those bloopers. I thought that was the funniest thing.
Oh my! Well, let me tell you, are there bloopers for it? Are there?
Oh, yeah.
I have to see that because they totally
were just hung there and it just kept going back and forth.
Me because they wouldn't yell cut. And so I got tripped up and I was like, dang it. And then another time they let me just keep running and they were never yelling cut. And they're like, let's see how far she's going to run.
I'm going to send you that video for you.
That's okay. I didn't even know that existed. That's so fun. Yeah, that was a really fun day. So then they'll do like, it's called a Texas switch where I like fall out of frame, but then Catherine would pop back up into frame. So, you know, so we're working together on that. So yeah, it's a mix. And then like when I doubled Catherine on National Treasure on driving days, she wasn't there, but on fight days, she was.
So in the interactions that you've had with high level celebrities, who's been like the most friendliest person that you have ever interacted with? Obviously, I'm not going to ask who's the worst because I don't want to get you in trouble. I don't want to ruin your street cred in the biz. But who's like, you know, the one that's like taking you most by surprise or like was the sweetest person you've ever met?
I will say the majority of the time, the actors are wonderful and super. And a part of our job, too, is to take care of them because they're our actor. We want to make sure they're safe. We make sure provide pads for them to fall on, teach them choreography. So a lot of actors are really excited to do that. They're excited to have a little bit of action. I was doubling an actress named Kelly Sullivan this past week. And she, if any of you are familiar with the show Henry Danger, she was the mom on this show. It's a kid show. I know it because my kids watch every single episode. and I was able to, you know, teach her the choreography and she got really comfortable doing the choreography. So that's really fun because then you film, you know, some of the harder stuff and the falls and that sort of thing. But I also can get the actress comfortable with doing it herself. So a lot of times, you know, that's how that sort of scenario works. But I will say the most incredible is Will Ferrell. And that is because I have a story and I was nursing. Okay, so I've worked with him 3 times. I'll get into this. It's a crazy story. As long as we can talk about nursing and having a baby on this show, then I can tell this story.
We're all inclusive here. Go for it.
So I filmed the campaign with him. Then I filmed a movie called Get Hard with him and Kevin Hart.
I remember. Yeah.
Yeah. And we were filming a scene and it was in a bar. And okay, first of all, every time I see Will, he remembers my kids. He remembers.
Oh, nice.
You know, he's just like, oh, you know, don't you have a daughter and a son? He's a little younger. And so I always found that to be very kind. He doesn't need to remember that. Can you imagine doing all of those lines on a film and then you also remember that the stunt girl you're working with has kids? So I always thought that was really kind. So the stunt with him was, on that film was I had to come from the top of a truck and like I splat onto the windshield while we're driving it. And they did have a stunt driver, but they did some of it themselves. And then I get thrown off. Well, but prior to that, I'm in the bar. The set was a bar and I had just given birth 5 weeks ago. And so all of a sudden, because there's long hours on set, I didn't have time to pump and milk starts.
Oh no.
I was like, oh my God. Oh my God. What am I going to do? So Will ends up, I catches word of this happening. He shuts down the whole set and was like, we're going to take 10 or 15 minutes. Taryn, go take care of what you need to take care of. I mean, literally like shut everything down.
Wow.
And then the makeup artist brought me in the back. She helped me. She brought my milk back to the makeup trailer and we moved forward. So that was, I just thought that was such a kind thing to do.
It is. It's a great story.
Yeah. Every minute on a film set is money. And he was.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. Like, you know what? We're going to take some time and you go take care of that. So I thought that was really, really great. And then the basketball one that I filmed with him where he has to hit me in the head was really funny.
Right.
I filmed that at a live Lakers Pelicans game. And so we had 6 minutes to get this shot. And the audience knew we were filming a movie, but they didn't know what was going to happen because they wanted real audience reactions of, you know, what they would do when they see a girl get hit with a basketball. and so that was really fun because we're looking at each other right before we're about to go out. And he's like, I hope I hit you. And I'm like, I hope you hit me too, but don't worry. If you don't, we have 2 chances to get this right. We're going to get it. It's going to be fine. He pegged me in the head perfectly both times. So it worked out great.
Nice. Taryn, so far, power lifter, stunt person, part gymnast, part acrobat. How do you become runner? How does that get started? How do you get started running and how do you get into Run Disney?
I will tell you that I constantly told myself I was not a runner. Always, my whole life. I was a power lifter in high school. I said that. And then I was convinced. I remember watching the girls that I knew that ran. And I looked at the way their bodies were shaped and compared it to mine. And I said, my body's not built like that. I don't have the long legs. I don't have, you know, I just saw these like long, lean people that ran. And so I had convinced myself that, oh, well, I just wasn't meant to run. And so fast forward many, many, many years later, which I have spent my life doing like CrossFit type workouts, you know, always weightlifting. And then once I really started into CrossFit, I was sad that I couldn't run a mile. I'm sure, or you guys are familiar with Murph, the Memorial Day workout.
Yes, yes.
So I was always bummed that I couldn't just run the whole mile. And I was like, what the heck? Like, how do, this is not cool. So that was one of the motivations for me to be like, okay, wait, I should be able to run a mile. And I was watching people with multiple different body types able to run a mile. And so that was motivational to me. The other thing was, is that I got into obstacle course racing. And I told myself that this wasn't really running because I would run to an obstacle, do an obstacle, and, you know, and so I had the obstacle breaks. So, yeah. It, you know, so to me, it was like, oh yeah, well, I will do like a Spartan Super, and used to be a Spartan Super was somewhere between like 8 and 10 miles. So I would do that, and it's trail running, and, you know, so there's, and there's like times that you're like walking through water. And so
right.
It just didn't feel like a real run to me. But between those two things, I was like, I wonder if I could start doing this. Like, here's the thing. So there's a race in New Orleans called the Crescent City Classic, and it's like it's a 10K. And so that kind of became my goal as I started doing that. And then when COVID hit is really when I really started, like, I did the Crescent City Classic the year before. And then when we were in lockdown, it was like, huh, well, there's nothing else to do except to go outside and run. And I live by, it's a 22 mile trail.
Okay.
Concrete trail, which is great. Yeah. So I was like, you know what, I'm going to start. And there was a virtual challenge to run like as many 5 miles as you can do in one day. And I made it up to 50.
Yeah, yeah.
In one day. And
wow.
I was like, huh.
Wow. Yeah.
I can do that. So then it just was unlocking these ideas of, I'm capable of so much more than I thought I was. And then what's the next thing I could potentially do? And so then I just kind of started like, I started just looking for more races and that sort of thing. And then just really training it hard. And then I hurt my hip and I was down and I was like, no, all of this hard work has gone to nothing. So I got a couple of rounds. I mean, my body is done. Like when I tell you I have beat the ever living, you know what, out of it.
I believe you.
It is in so much pain at all times. So I got PRP injections in my hip. I got 3 rounds of that. And then I got my hip back to working order. And then I kind of just, again, just started. And I love it. I mean, I know you all feel the same. It's just the most cathartic thing to do. I just, you know, and then I really started, for me, I was like, you know what? CrossFit means I have to go to the gym and I have to, like, it's this time going there and time going back. And I'm like, I can just put my running shoes on and go out the front door and have the best hour of my life. This is great. So then that sort of led me. And then I just kind of was researching races, and I go to Disney all the time. Like, I mean, for someone who doesn't live in Florida, I guess, you know, I'm like there every 2 to 3 months because I just am obsessed. So I was like, and then I would see the tents and I would see the big balloons in the air. And I was like, what is that? I don't know what that is. So then I started like researching it. And I was like, wait a second. I find these two things. What? So yeah. I did. And I, my first one was Wine and Dine. And I
what
was
year?
this past Wine
and Dine. Oh, okay. Just recently. Okay.
Oh, wow.
Recently. And I was like, oh my gosh. What? I've been missing this for this all of these years. And I hear all the stories of people that, you know, perfect dopies and all of this stuff. And I'm like, I could have been doing this all of these years. But oh my gosh, I can't I was telling somebody recently after marathon and seeing, you know, the actual goats that they had out. And I'm like,
yes,
I was just excited to see the goats as I was any other character. I'm like, gorilla goats. I don't know. It was amazing. Like, it's the best of every world you could potentially. And then, gosh, the community of people.
Yeah.
Like, what? It just warms my heart. I mean, turning onto Main Street, I just like tears.
Oh, like, yes.
So I think that was, yeah. And then I'm sold and I never want to miss another race. I actually sadly hurt my PCL at training for marathon. I tore it 7 years ago and I think it's potentially just irritated. But it is not stopping me. I am doing Princess. I just got a gigantic brace to put on my knee. So I'm like, there's no way that I'm missing it. So I've just been training on the Peloton, just hoping that's going to be enough.
Oh, you'll be good.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. So I absolutely love learning about how everybody gets into the Run Disney addiction, because it isn't an addiction, because once you do one, you're like, okay, next year I got to do it again. Or if you want to do like the perfect season, are you trying for the perfect season right now?
I am going to take springtime off. I know. I keep in my mind, because every time that it opens back up, I'm like, do I do it? No, like, I don't know. I'm torn. I'm like, if the universe wants me to do it, it's going to open up and my knee's going to be feeling really good that day. And I'm like, yes, I'm signing up. So, it's also like during a crazy season of, my daughter's a competitive cheerleader. So
we're very nice
down there like a week before, a week after, like something inconvenient. For that timeline, but my goal for like going forward is every single race, every single time.
Nice.
Yeah. Whether or not it will happen, I'm dying to. I was super jealous in a good way. I'm very happy for everybody that got to do Dopey. But I was like, ooh, I want in that club.
Mm-hmm.
People always found it weird that like I was really. I guess I don't know if I would say I'm more nervous. I was more nervous doing Dopey than I was training for Lake Sonoma 50 miler. And they're like, why? You're an ultra runner. And I'm like, because there's a certain level of exhaustion that you have to train yourself into. And ultra running is done all in one day. And you just keep using your adrenaline to get you to the end, even though you're exhausted. Whereas every day with Dopey, you have to wake up and you're like, oh God. But it's like literally, I hope you do it, because even though it was so exhausting, it was one of the most magical experiences that I've been very grateful to have taken part of. And I think everybody should at least do it once, because it's like nothing else.
I just love the camaraderie of everybody too. That's like, you know, just standing in line for pictures afterwards and talking to them about the Dopey experience that they had. And, you know, and it's even though everybody's kind of limping and they're in pain and, you know, they're so happy and all of the soreness does not matter, because they're just like, I did that. And this past marathon was my first marathon ever.
Very good. Congratulations.
Congratulations.
So for me, that was enough, but next time I have to do more, you know?
Yeah, you're in. I can hear it. You're hooked. You're in.
Oh, I love it so much. I stopped for every character. I need every picture. The whole thing. I rode Everest. And
nice.
I was going to ask you that.
I didn't do that.
I was so excited. The only thing I didn't know is that the Tower of Terror, I was like, I don't know, because my do I have time? Do I not have time?
I would almost recommend saving that one for after, because that's where I used to work. And I could tell you the process from the point that you get into line to the point where you get out. That attraction itself is about 4 minutes long. If you include the library aspect of it as well, that's another minute and a half. And then to get through the fast pass, oh, you made the right decision.
Yeah,
as much as I would love for you to do Tower of Terror during the race.
I know. It was worth skipping for sure. And that's what I did. I was by myself too. I went to Disney totally by myself and just made friends everywhere I went. And then afterwards I went to Hollywood Studios. I sat at Oga's Cantina, made friends with some other racers next to me, and then I went and rode Tower of Terror and Rock and Roller Coaster. And I'm like, No better way to end a day.
So, Taryn, we've talked about Disney World. Are you planning on doing the Disneyland races when they happen coming up?
Not this year. So I will probably do it the following year. My kids love LA. And then we get to work out there, you know, quite a bit. And so it's so much fun because when my husband will be on set, he works a lot more than I do these days, just because, you know, I like to be like mom, PTA mom, the whole thing. So, but yeah, that is definitely a plan. I mean, I would like to hit Disneyland Paris when that comes, like the whole thing. And I have been to Disneyland Paris twice, but I think it would be fun to run there as well. But yeah, I want them all. I really do. I want like my entire wall shrine of my Disney medals.
I don't know what that's like.
Well, they're currently, it's all obstacle courses, which I've done so many of those Tough Mudders, Spartans, Savage races. And like I said, those have really taken up my time. And then I think too, like I'm sure you guys are really similar with, anytime it's a new year, you kind of sit down and you start looking at your race schedule and you're like, okay, this is my, these are my race. These are the races I want to do in each month and try and plan them out. So, I've got my Run Disney races in there. And then, you know, in between those, I've got obstacle course races and then some, you know, local 10Ks and local halves.
So obviously we know that you are quasi a Run Disney newbie, you know, since you just started, you know, your first race in this past November at Wine and Dine. What have you learned from the past two race weekends that you're like, okay, I have to do this next race weekend? You know, I know you're running Princess, or, you know, for next year, you know, what is that one thing, like, you know, you saw somebody like, oh, I wish I would have done that, or I would have done that. What, anything, you know, spark an idea there for you?
Yeah, I want my costumes to just continue to get bigger. That's the funny thing is that I've already started planning. I've got Wine and Dine costumes, like planned out. I've got obviously Princess, cause that one's coming up. But you know, I think that I've, as far as something like actually practical, the food situation, I get nervous before races every single time, and I don't eat, and I'm like, I just, it's like out of my mind. And I ended up having to like force myself to eat the night before marathon, and I knew I didn't have enough carbs. And so when I got to mile seven in marathon, I hit a wall, and I was like, oh my gosh, this is not good. And so I really just don't think I prepared enough. And I had a Snickers, and that's like the best thing that I have ever tried. I've never brought, new on race day. I've never used a Snickers, but that thing saved my life.
That would work. Yep. Lots of carbs.
Yeah. So I definitely feel like I need to make sure. And I got in really late. Like I literally flew in the day before marathon. And so I really think it's important to get there a couple of days and just acclimate.
Yeah, it is. It's much more comfortable for you and all that.
Yeah. I kind of get your sleep, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or lack of.
A little bit. Yeah. Lack of sleep. Oh my gosh, that alarm clock. I can't. And then I've also, like, when I did Wine and Dine, I showed up kind of later. Like I got on the bus at 3:15, 3:20. Mm-hmm. And then of course I realized that I did the challenge at Wine and Dine. So then on half marathon, I did the same thing. And I was like, oh gosh, we're starting this. I had no idea about the mile and a half, you know, walk to the house. And I was like, oh shoot, I need to start getting there earlier. And so I really, like, at first going into it, I was like, I'll be fine just showing up. And then all the stuff, of course, that happened with marathon, you know, and like people not being able to get into their corrals. I've realized, forget about the sleep. You'll be fine. You can sleep later.
That's right. Yeah. We call that the alley method, showing up at the last minute and heading right to the corral. Just
walk right on. Yeah.
That's the alley method.
I do that with airports. I do that with everything of it. I like to get as much sleep as possible.
She's good at it.
Yeah.
You know what? I've gotten influenced by these fine folks, and I do get there earlier now because I like to chat now and,
yeah, we
and see my friends. Yeah.
It is fun. And it's just like being around all of those people. It feels so magical. And, you know, until you're in the corrals and then people are starting to fight for space. And then you're like, where did that go, guys? Let's bring it back.
You're a stunt woman. You're training for running. I guess you get injured. What's your rehab type schedule for this? I mean, like you got to be doing, are you lucky that you're not getting hurt doing stunts? Or like you said before, your body's hurting all the time.
Yeah, I do. I am constantly nursing some injury. And so I think one of the things is that I go get IV therapy a lot. I do cryotherapy, red light therapy, infrared sauna, foam rolling, yoga, all of those things. So I really just try and focus. Here's my biggest problem is when I go out for a run, I have so much trouble warming up because I'm so excited that I just am ready to go for it.
Yeah, gotcha.
And then by the time I'm cooling down, I'm like, you know, I really should take the time and like let myself cool down. But I'm usually running into a house of kids and it's insane and it's chaos. And I'm just like, okay, like my cooling down is like, Mom, can you make me some chicken nuggets? Mom, I want some chocolate milk. So that's
not cooling down.
Exactly. I'm like, my heart rate's still going. I'm like, oh.
Yeah. It's got 100 miles an hour in different direction. That's all.
Yeah, definitely. So I really just try and listen to my body. And as hard as it is, actually, like, I tore my AC joint and I wish I could say I did it doing something fun, but I was doing a Spartan race, still didn't do something fun. I was staying at a tree house and, it was a loft style bed with a library ladder.
Uh-huh.
So I was climbing up the ladder and the ladder goes flying and I had to grab it and my AC joint blew out. I was like, no,
oh, that stinks.
Well, it's like, yeah. I think the problem is that I have beat up my body so much that it's like barely hanging on. So it doesn't take for something to go. So I just try and prioritize the things that are easy for me, which like I said, are, I can go to like, a place down the road and hop in a cryo booth and that sort of thing. And I have my Normatec boots and those are the things
mm-hmm.
for me.
Yep.
Lay in bed, kids lay with me. We're just like, hey, what's up? This is the best life ever.
They're good. They sure are.
Yeah.
I watched you on wrestling. I'm a big wrestling geek. I mean,
shut up.
Oh, please. Back during the Monday Night Wars, I had a TV that had picture in picture and two VCRs going. Okay. So that's how crazy I was.
I love that.
So I heard you retired. Do you think you got one more left? You think, is that still burning in the back of your head?
You know, it's funny that you say that because, I don't know how big of a wrestling person you are. If you know Simon Diamond, he was a wrestler from a long time ago, but he's kind of been my mentor through a lot of my career. Him and Tommy Dreamer.
Tommy Dreamer, yeah.
Yeah. And so, and he kind of was like, you know, when you start going out and it feels like work, it's time, you're done. And so I think I got to a point where I was in pain and I could valet. And that Billy Corgan, who's the president of NWA, he was amazing. And he was willing to let me just be a character on the show and just walk out with, if you're not familiar with the valet, it's like the girl that walks out to the ring and cheers them on while they're wrestling. But the problem is I was a wrestler. And so I watch what's happening in the ring and I feel sad because I'm like, I'm not doing that. And what I would love inevitably is to work behind the scenes. I love creating stories. I love helping tell stories through action and through wrestling. So can I still take bumps in the ring? Yeah, I can. I'm going to pay for it because my body hurts really bad. And I still do it with stunt work. But like I said, I take less stunt work than I did in wrestling, or I take less stunt work than I used to. But the other thing is that with wrestling, it's live performance. So, you know, you got to give it all you got every single time. And while, yes, you have to in film as well, things get filmed in sections. And so you're not necessarily having to go out for 10 minutes and beat yourself up. You know, it could be today we're filming this one fall. And maybe you do it 3 or 4 times. And then the next day is we're going to film this section of the fight, you know? So it's been easier on my body. And I can kind of pick and choose what stunt jobs I want to take, but I don't know. I mean, certainly if somebody called and they were like, we have the best storyline for you to be a part of, I probably wouldn't say no.
So it's been absolutely amazing having you here and listening to your story and just meeting you. You're just such a wonderful, lively person. And we can't say enough how grateful we are to have you here tonight. But to round this out, and I asked if Allie was okay with this, and I know we haven't done this in a while, I was wondering if you would like to do some rapid fire questions to kind of and kind of round this out.
Definitely, but I talk a lot, so you're gonna have to shut me up.
Yeah, you fit right in.
All right, you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. Marathon weekend, princess, springtime surprise, or wine and dine?
Wine and dine.
That's my favorite too, is wine and dine.
And I know, I mean, this year I noticed there was a lot less people than marathon weekend, so that was kind of
yeah.
Fun. I felt like there were so many people running and it got, you know, it got clogged up so much more than wine and dine. So I liked that.
You know what happens a lot to Disney runners? Their favorite race becomes the first one they did.
Yeah.
And I think that's what I hear here also.
That's when I discovered the magic. So
yeah. Yeah.
It brings me to that happy place.
All right. So the next one is Avatar Flight of Passage or Cosmic Rewind.
Oh my gosh, that's a hard one. Oh, okay. I'm going to have to say Flight of Passage because the first time I did it, I cried. Okay, apparently I'm just a crybaby.
I cried too. Don't worry.
I've asked other people and I'm like, I feel so weird that I cried on it. And like, no, I cried too. So it's not. Okay, cool. So that's now three people. Thank you, Jack.
You're very welcome. I'm here for you.
It's so beautiful.
Okay, so now distance-wise, marathon or half marathon?
Half marathon.
I feel you on that one.
Yeah, it's like the perfect hard distance, but you can still, you know, kind of have a nice day the rest of the day.
Yeah.
So if you could dream up any theme for any Run Disney race, what would it be?
Ooh. You know, I don't actually know because, like I said, I'm new to all of this. But I've heard that there were potentially more immersion type things in the past at Run Disney races. I'm not sure what those things were. But I will say on the I love the screens. I feel like we could just keep going. We can keep adding stuff, adding people, adding characters, adding walkthrough 3D things. I don't know. I mean, sky's the limit, right?
I mean, if there's an obstacle course, would you do it?
Oh my gosh. Disney obstacle course.
Wow.
Yeah. I would do it hands down. I've always wanted to do an obstacle course.
I'm trying to picture it.
You have to do it. I'll send you my list of ones that I'm doing this year.
Please do. Seriously, I'm like, yes.
They're so much fun. And you end up like you're done with them and you're bleeding and you've got cuts and, you know, scrapes and all of this stuff. But you feel like you jump over the Spartans, you jump over fire at the end and you're like, oh, geez, warrior. It's the same, you know, it's the same superhero feeling when you cross the finish line and it's not as emotional. For me, the marathons and the Run Disneys are emotional and I'm crying and I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe I did that. And this will be a story for another day, but I have a lung disease. So for me, like being able to do these things is incredible to push my body. But the race is the obstacle where you just feel like a warrior from a movie for sure. You're like Xena the warrior princess.
All right. So my last question for you would be, if you had a secret dream race, whether Run Disney or not, what would it be?
Okay. I came up with this one while I was running marathon. It would be a zoo race where you had, because the goats and the pig and the snake, and you would just have animal encounters the entire time.
Neat.
I love that.
That sounds so much fun.
That goat gave me life during the marathon.
So chill. She didn't know what it was, but it was so chill. And I was like, oh, I love you. Thank you. So I was like, you could have animals the whole way. This would be incredible.
I was going to say, did you see the pig on the course?
I saw the pig. I got a picture with a pig and he refused to show his face.
Oh no.
How dare he?
A pig? I didn't see no pig.
There was a pig. And is it a warthog or a pig?
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know. I didn't see it.
The reason I ask is because it reminded me of Pumbaa. I was like, oh, this must be Pumbaa.
I think it was a pig.
Oh, shoot.
Maybe that's why he wouldn't show his face.
I'm an imposter.
So you truly are just a master of all trades. It's so cool. Thank you so much for being here. We've thoroughly enjoyed this time with you.
Oh, I know. I'm excited. It was so nice talking to you guys. Thank you for having me.
Well, we hope you enjoyed that Rise and Run rewind with our buddy Taryn. She's just such an awesome individual. She's such a wonderful follow on Instagram as well. If you don't follow her now, you definitely have to go check her out, because just, you know, seeing the escapades of her coming up with, whether it's Run Disney costumes or running, she's one of those insane people that loves those Tough Mudders and or the Spartan races, yeah, and everything like, yeah, that. Just the amount of mud that she gets covered with, I don't know, it gives me PTSD for some reason. But we do want to wish Taryn well. She did announce on her Instagram stories a couple of days ago that she's dealing with a little bit of an injury right now, so she had to drop out of springtime. Taryn, we want to wish you a speedy recovery. And Grant, we know you're doing the smart thing. You're saving your body, so when that phone rings and you get a stunt job, you can be healthy and be able to tackle that, you know, with full force. So, but it was such a great interview. She's become such a wonderful friend to us here on the podcast. And again, she's just such a lovely person that we figured we need more people to learn about Taryn. So that's why we selected that interview for this particular week.
I'm sorry she's not going. I'm going to miss her there. It's always fun to see Taryn. Friends, last week, as you'll recall, Ken from Give Kids the World was with us, and he talked about Give Kids the World bibs and when they might be ready. And I think we have an update on that, Greg.
Yeah, so I was chatting with Ken earlier this week, just telling about how an amazing job that he did on the podcast last week. And I'm so glad that, you know, we did receive some feedback, you know, from the listeners about how much they enjoyed it and that people are interested in running for the village in the future. But within that correspondence, he did say that their bibs are now on sale. He did send me the link, which I did post on our Facebook page just the other day, and I'm sure Mark is going to be adding that link to his charity spreadsheet as well. But if you are interested in running for the village for Marathon Weekend in 2025, as of day of recording, April 16th, the village does have bibs available for every single race for Marathon Weekend. So, you know, one of those sought after bibs that, you know, whether you're looking for, you know, a Goofy or a Dopey bib, or, you know, again, any of the other races, they are available through the village. All the information is there in terms of the cost of the bib and then also the fundraising requirement as well. And if you have any questions at all, be sure to reach out to Ken. And I'm sure, you know, Mark and myself can, you know, also help, you know, answer any questions about running on behalf of the village. But we're just super excited that those are on sale, and hope you folks can gobble them up, because I'm looking at the page right now while I speak. The village has a goal to raise $300,000 for Marathon Weekend 2025. So that would be absolutely awesome to see them hit that goal. So let's send support their way.
That'd be cool. There's no truth to the rumor that they upped the number to 50,000 per person.
No,
they want six rich people.
Yeah.
No. Ooh, that's good. That's good news. A couple more quick announcements before we get to the roll call. The 101 Dalmatians costumes for the Walt Disney World Marathon Weekend 5K has generated a lot of interest, which is very exciting. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. No concrete plans yet. We are working on things. I appreciate all of the feedback that we're getting in the chat and all the activity. We will start to make some plans when we get back here after Springtime Surprise. One more thing I'd like to mention. We've talked about it a couple times, and I know it's been talked about on the Facebook group, but the interview, the sit-down that Jack and I did with John and Carissa on the 321 Go podcast, that went live last week, actually the same day we were recording ours, I believe. That was a great deal of fun. Give that one a listen. We hope you'll enjoy it. All right, my friends, it's time for the last time this race season, the 23-24 race season. It's time for the Rise and Run roll call for Springtime Surprise. If you're new to this, first of all, welcome. Delighted that you're here. Hope you enjoy it. Now, the rules are that when you hear your name, you have to stand up until we finish that race event. All right, remain standing till we get to the end of the event. The only exception is if you're on short final in an aircraft and the seatbelt sign is on, that we don't want you getting in trouble with the flight attendants and with the FAA and all that. So let the Rise and Run roll call begin.
Okay, the virtual, and this would be the final virtual that would be corresponding with a race weekend this year, because next year they are not happening. And the people running that are Amy, Andrew's doing the challenge, Anna's doing the challenge, Grace is doing the 10 miler, Jessica is doing the 5K, but she'll be at Springtime to cheer. Our buddy Joe did the challenge. Joe actually did the challenge already. He's already completed. Melissa M did the 10K. Melissa W did the challenge. So Sarah does the 5K live, and then she'll do the remaining challenge somewhere else on site. Then we have Sean doing the challenge and Stephanie doing the challenge.
All right. Great. Those are our virtual runners. Virtual runners, you may be seated. 5K, please.
For our 5K, we have Andrew doing his first Run Disney event. Our amazing Becky, which is Becky retiring now?
This is a semi-retirement run. Yeah, she's not registered for the Wine and Dine. She's not registered for Disneyland. She is registered for the 5K at Marathon Weekend. Ah. That's because Diane, John's wife, Diane.
So this isn't a retirement. This is a sabbatical.
I guess
it's like Gronk and Brady, you know.
Okay. That's what it is.
And also, we have Deb with her husband and friends, Jared, Jen with her daughter, Jessica, Joe, who's his first 5K and first Run Disney event, Jose Luis from Argentina, first race ever and first Run Disney race. And then we have Joshua, a.k.a. Mr. Nine, which is Stephanie's son, running the 5K with his mom. And she is doing the challenge to end the perfect season while doing breast cancer surgeries and treatments. Now, if that's not something else, I don't know what is.
Yeah. During Dopey, Stephanie would run in the morning and then go to, I believe it was, radiation treatments.
Wow.
Yeah. Very impressive.
Wow. Also for the 5K, we have Kathy, Levi, who's his first 5K and first Run Disney event, and Maureen.
And then rounding out the Tinkerbell 5K, we have Melanie and Barb. And this is Barb's first Run Disney event. So exciting. We have Riley, Robin, Rudy. Rudy's also participating in their first Run Disney event, and Sarah.
Okay, congratulations, 5K runners. You may be seated. It's 10K time.
Okay, for the 10K, let's see what's up here. We have Amanda. We have Angie with her husband and two kids, their first 10K. You have Anita, Christian, Crystal, it's her first Run Disney event, Eric, Jennifer, Jessica, first Run Disney event, Lindsay, first 10K and first Disney race, and then Melanie.
Nicole's running the 10K, as is Riley, his first 10K. Robin, first Run Disney event, first 10K. Another Robin and James, first 10K. And Sharon with her son Nate, and Steven rounds out the 10K.
This is so exciting to see the number of people who are doing their first ever Run Disney event.
Mm-hmm.
That's just awesome to see. I hope you have the most fabulous time and you, get addicted to the cult like we all are now.
Oh, I couldn't agree. I was thinking the same exact thing, Greg. It is exciting. I, I'm excited for you. I remember my first Run Disney event. Remember it very, very well.
Mm-hmm.
And please enjoy it. Please take the time to enjoy it. All right, let's continue in the 10-miler. The 10-miler, let's start with our buddy Adam, who's going to be pacing the 10-miler after pacing, well, no, after acting as a guide for a friend at the Boston Marathon just a few days ago. Busy schedule for Adam. Amanda B. and Amanda H. are both running the 10-miler, as is Amy, Andrew and Julia, Anita, Audrey, Chris, Christian, Deb, Duncan, and Aaron. First Run Disney event for Aaron.
We also have Gabriella from Argentina. It's her first Run Disney event. Haley and her husband Trent, first Run Disney event. Heidi, Jacqueline, Jason, Callie, Kayla, Kim, who is her first 10-miler, Christine, Lisa from Canada, another Lisa, and Liz. It's their third mother-daughter springtime surprise weekend. Lola and her sibling Bee. It's Bee's first 10-miler and first race ever.
And also having no worries during this race is Mark and Brittany, both their first 10-milers. Molly, Paige, first 10-miler and first Run Disney race. Ravi, then we have our buddy Ryan, who will be pacing along with Adam. Sharon, TA, Trina and Jeff, and Troy and Christina.
All right. All right, 10-milers, take a seat. Thank you very much. Now for the big list. The challenge.
Okay, for the challenge, we have our friend Alan and Grace. Alexandra, Allie without an E, our guests from episode 130, Allison Ray and Penny Ann, Amanda, Amy G, Amy S, Avery, our buddy Bob over there, and Bonnie.
Brandy, Brian, Bridget, Britt, Brooke, Cassandra, Shell, Christina, Sissy and her husband, Courtney, Dale, and David.
Dawn, Dylan, Donna, Doug, Elizabeth, Erica with her husband and dad. First challenge for every single one of them. We have two Aarons running. Our good friend Greg, Haley and her husband Cody, and it's their first challenge and first Run Disney race. Idanya, James, and Wendy.
We also have Jason, Jared, Jennifer IS, Jennifer with her friends Maureen and Becky, Jennifer K, Jennifer P, Jody, Julia, Kate, Katie, first springtime surprise and first ever challenge, Catherine and Katrina.
There we go with Kay and Kaylee, first Disney challenge, first 10K, first 10-miler, Kendra, first springtime surprise challenge, Carrie, Kimberly, Kirk, Christina, first springtime challenge, Larry's first springtime challenge, Laura, Lauren, and this is Lauren's first challenge.
Lori's running with her daughter, Hannah. Lori R. is running her first challenge. Lindsay and Anthony are running. Luciana is here from Italy. She'll be running. Lucy, Madison, and her mom, Cheryl. I believe it's first challenges for both. Mandy, Margaret, our friend from the Council of Costumes. Marianne, Marissa and her husband. Mark and Marty and her husband.
We also have Mary, Mary Jo, Megan R, Megan O, and it's her first challenge. Michael, Michaelin, Michelle, Monica's first challenge. Nikki B is for springtime surprise challenge. Nikki W, our good friend Rachel, and Rebecca.
Then we have Rob N, Rob and his son William, Ryan, Sonia, Sophie running her first challenge, our buddy from Alaska, Shailene, Sherilyn, Stephanie, Tammy, Taylor S., Taylor T., and Tiffany.
Okay, also we have Timothy, the man with many nicknames, Greg's roommate, Hollywood, our friend Tony, Tanya and Dan, Tracy, Valerie, and JJ from Argentina, and Valerie. Plus, if she ever gets off of Guardians of the Galaxy, our friend Alicia.
Friends, there we have it. Some, oh gosh, I didn't count them all up, but that's over 200 names on the Rise and Run roll call for springtime. You're all down there. I expect to see each and every one of you. Okay. Please come say hello. We look forward to seeing you. Say it all the time, and I say it all the time because I mean it. All right, let's do a couple more announcements here. We've mentioned it, the Rise and Run merchandise shop on our website is going to shut down here after Springtime Surprise. Need a little time to retool, work some things back up. We'll let you know when that is open again. Our buddy Pam sent some photos. She's there now. She's probably even there at the time we're recording this. She's ready for the Fluffy Fizzies booth to open at the expo, almost always near the Jeff Galloway booth, so you can visit two friends right next to each other. Go say hi to Pam. Still not too late to order. Well, yes, it is. It's expo time by now. So go see Pam while you're there. I do not plan to mention this every time, but I want to mention it once more. I talked about being a RunGum ambassador and made a post on Facebook, which generated a bit of interest. Good product. I use it. I will chew a couple pieces of RunGum. I usually don't do it until I'm running at least a half marathon. I may use it on the 10-miler. Reason I wanted to bring it up, they just announced a new product. In addition to gum, they now have gummies. Now, I can't tell you anything about them except that the composition, the amount of caffeine and the other vitamins and minerals involved with them is about the same as it is with the gum. But if you find that the gum isn't quite right for you, maybe the gummies will be okay. I want to remind you, we do have a discount code. It's my discount code. I don't get any money from it. We don't generate any revenue for the podcast from it. But it'll save you 20% on your order. That's BobR20, and that's pinned on our Facebook page also. I like to notice encouraging things from our friends in the Rise and Run family. I can't mention them all. We have so many. But I'm excited to see that our friend Heather is back to training now. Heather had major surgery earlier in the year. It was scheduled. She knew it was going to happen. She knew she was going to be down for a while. She seems to be doing really, really well. And that's excited. I'm happy. We are all happy to see that, Heather. We're glad for you. All right. If you're down there, if you're listening to us from Walt Disney World, please don't forget our meetup. Well, first of all, we get together, those of us who are running, we get together before every race. When you get into the arrival area, after you depart the bus or after you walk in from the parking lot, if you look towards the stage, you will see bleachers there. We usually, almost always, are directly to the left of those bleachers. Come by and say hello. It's a good chance to meet up, maybe calm some nerves before you get ready to run your first Disney event. Ask some last-minute questions. Just say hi. We'd be happy to see you. Our formal meetup, and my wife is in the kitchen right now. I can see her through the window here, baking cookies for the Springtime Surprise Meetup, which will be Saturday at 3 p.m. in the food truck area of Disney Springs. It's going to be warm. We still hope that you'll be able to get by and visit with us there.
And Bob, one thing I do want to mention in terms of meetups, obviously, you know, this isn't something that we've discussed or come up with a definitive plan for, from the sounds of it, it looks like a bunch of Rise and Runners are going to be attending the after party at Typhoon Lagoon on Sunday evening. So once we arrive there, maybe we'll do something on, I don't know, an Instagram story, or we'll do a post in Facebook of where we're all like, you know, finding our lounge chairs or whatever, that, you know, if we get a big, you know, collective group of Ryzen runners together in one particular area, we'll try to get out that information as quickly as possible to everybody.
That's a good idea, Greg. I'm glad you mentioned that. I usually assume we're all just going to find one another because sometimes that's what we do. But yeah, we'll try to do that. That's fun. Haven't done it in a while. John, do we have any new reviews?
Yes, we do. We have a new review. Every Mile Can Be Magic from PB Love. I love listening to this podcast on my runs. It helps me make the miles go faster. I truly appreciate they do long podcasts during the longer run training weeks. It helped me during marathon training, and I am sure it will help me with my dopey training this year. That was from PB Love.
Thank you, PB. May I call you PB? Thank you, PB. We appreciate it. We smile when we think about the length of the podcast. And you're right, we do try to go long with the podcast during the long training runs. But when we started the show in 2021, we thought the perfect length would be 30, 45 minutes for our podcast. Yeah, that lasted about 3 podcasts. They've been a little longer than that ever since. We're glad you enjoy them. We're glad you took the time. Thank you so much for taking your time to submit a review. We appreciate it. We appreciate hearing from all of our friends. Upcoming episodes next week. Next week, we're going to take some time to look back at Springtime Surprise. We'll do a race weekend recap. We'll also take a look back at the entire race season, highs and lows, memories from all of the gang. If you have some particular memories you want to call in and tell us about, use the hotline, 727-266-2344. Take a minute or two, tell us what you thought of the 2023-2024 race season. All right, my friends, it's time for
the Race Report.
Race Report, sponsored by our friend Tom of the Tutu Guys and Stoked Metabolic Training. Tom was with us last week explaining his training and nutrition program. You get both benefits if you talk with Tom. Information is posted in the featured section at the top of our Facebook page. Tom has a special rate for the Rise and Run family for his outstanding training. And if Jack was here right now, she'd be saying, yeah, it really is good. But she's not here. So I had to do it forward. Did I sound like her at all?
No. Uncanny. It's like she was in the room.
I was going to say maybe raise the pitch of her voice just a little bit.
Well, what Greg will do is he'll speed it up. Okay. All right, let's take a look. We had one event on Thursday, the Brevard Corporate 5K in Melbourne, Florida. Lucy was there for that one. Moving forward to Saturday, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, the Fat Boy 5K. Emily had a blast, already looking forward to next year's event. Lots of fun, a little bit of hills out and back course, a little bit of hills in Baton Rouge. She really wasn't necessarily going for a new PR, but knocked this one out in 23 minutes, 32 seconds. 12 seconds faster than her old PR, so that's a new one. Second in her age group, 16th overall. That is an outstanding time, Emily. 23 plus minutes in a 5K. Great job. Up in Boston. Had a couple of runs in Boston this weekend. I can't remember the other one right off the top of my head. I think we'll get to it. This is the one on Saturday, the BAA 5K. Starts and finishes at the Boston Common. It actually crosses the marathon finish line about 2.4 miles into the race. Lauren was there. Great morning spent with old and new Run Disney friends. Lauren wanted to thank the cheering squad for coming out bright and early on a Boston morning. Riley was there. Riley went into the thing wanting to take it easy, but the energy of the crowd just propelled her forward, pushed her to run faster, and she realized she ended up running sub 30. I had sub 30 in a 5K. That's a benchmark. I think that's a great run. Let's head out to Washington, the state of Washington, the Birch Bay Road Race 5K in Birch Bay, Washington. Elena was there. This is Elena's first race report. Thank you, Elena. Glad you submitted it. Said she had a beautiful weather out there. They got to run along the bay in, I assume it's Birch Bay, since it's Birch Bay, Wisconsin. So probably ran along the Birch Bay. Didn't intend to go out quite as fast as she did, but she just felt good. Felt like giving it her all. Ended up third in her age group and setting a new PR. Back to Florida in Ocoee, the Chick-fil-A 5K. Mary said this one's close enough to home that she can walk to the start line. You know what Stephen Wright says, any place is walking distance if you have enough time. But I think in this case, Mary actually was pretty close. And you get Chick-fil-A at the finish line, so come on. It's got to be a good one. That's a hard combo to beat. Ran this is Mary's last race in her current age group. Ran this one with her family. Milwaukee, Wisconsin, the Milwaukee Half Marathon. Dan got up at 3 a.m. to make the 90-minute drive to Milwaukee. Kind of reminded him of a Run Disney event. This half was point-to-point. You head north, starts on the Lake Michigan lakefront, turn around, come back south. You go past the start line along the lakefront a little bit. Then you go through some of the neighborhoods south of Milwaukee. Ends in Humboldt Park, for those of you familiar with the Milwaukee area. They had a nice post-race party set up there. Dan took off with a sub-2-hour goal, stuck with his 90-30 intervals, and although it wasn't easy, knocked this one out in 1:57, a PR. Now, interesting thing, one of the struggles Dan had with at the end, he's trying to do 2 hours, he's working hard, but he's tired, you know, at the end of a half marathon, you know what it feels like. And the two-hour pacer goes by him. That's a little deflating, right? Yeah, the two-hour pacer finished in 1:55.
That doesn't seem right.
Yeah, these were not Galloway pacers. So, I mean, way to hang with it, Dan. Good job. Let's head back west, Fresno, California, the California Classic Half Marathon. Sylvia says you get to run through the zoo and make your way to a local minor league baseball park. That's always fun. Sylvia ran in honor of a dear friend who lost his battle to cancer. In Knoxville, Tennessee, the Forget-Me-Not 5K race for Alzheimer's. Megan, by far the hilliest run she's participated in. No PR today. It's tough in the hills. Still had a fun time on the course. Another one near and dear to Megan's heart. Again, for the cause, because she's watched family members suffer from this terrible disease. I couldn't agree more, Megan. It's an awful disease. Not that there are good diseases, but we've just talked about two of the worst there with the Alzheimer's and cancer. Let's move on. Let's move on to something a little more uplifting and go to Juneau Beach, Florida for the Run by the Sea 4-miler. Jennifer and her husband, Stephen, were there. 7-minute PR for both of them. Beautiful course. Great weather this weekend in that part of Florida. Wood Turtle Metals, super cute. Up next for both of them, springtime surprise. You're there right now. Wave. Greg, do you see him? Stephen, I don't know if Stephen's wearing his Philadelphia Phillies headband like he was wearing at the race or not. Make him easier to see. We'll have to.
It's easy to spot the fanatic from far away.
All right, back out west, Agoura Hills, California, the great race in Agoura Hills. Couple folks there, Camille. Camille said this great race was less great than it was last year because, unfortunately, she started late. She got there late. They let her start, but she was about 20 minutes into the race when she started. Then she finds a piece of uneven sidewalk. And if this has ever happened to you, it happens in one of two ways. One is it takes you forever to fall. And the other is you hit the deck before you even know what happened. And that's what happened to Camille here. Now, the good news is she didn't get hurt too badly because she was able to continue. About a mile into it, she caught up with her dad. Her dad had been power walking the races with Camille since last year. Once she passed him, she was able to pass quite a few people. That is one of the beauties of starting in the back. You get to pass folks. That feels okay. She was registered. There was a 10K, 5K combo, but because she was late starting the 10K, she would have been late starting the 5K also, just didn't have the heart to do it. She walked back up the 10K course, found her dad, and walked the last mile with him. You know what? That sounds like a good race weekend, Camille. Our friend Tanya noticed the post, said she was there also, pointed out that the wind was no joke in this race. In Newport, Rhode Island, the Newport Half Marathon, Andrew was there. In Tampa, Florida, the Tampa Firefighters 5K. Bridget, great morning for a run in Florida. Gosh, I think we're going to miss the perfect weekend by a week. I think it's going to be a little warm for springtime, but this last weekend was excellent. Bridget makes a note that it was a great morning for a run in Tampa. She says, I feel these cool mornings are quickly coming to an end. Oh, how true. I'm afraid that is. Bridget's from a family of firefighters and first responders, so the race was pretty special. Her dad's a retired firefighter captain for the city of Tampa, so emotions are strong in this one. Ran with her cousin and his wife. The wife came in third in her age group. That's cool. Bridget finally got under the 40-minute mark for a 5K. Please insert the PR bell right here. And Adam, and I'm assuming Adam is her husband, got a PR also. In Albany, New York, the Helderberg to Hudson Half. Avery was there. Tempe, Arizona, the Pat Tillman 20th anniversary 4.2-mile run. Stacy ran this one. And as I was doing this, it occurs to me that Pat Tillman was killed 20 years ago.
Now. I was just about ready to say the exact same thing. I can't believe it's been two decades already.
20 years ago. So I have a feeling there are some of our friends who may not even know who he was. And if you don't, T-I-L-L-M-A-N, look him up on Google. What an American hero. Anyway, at the race was around the Arizona State campus, ended in Sun Devil Stadium on the 42-yard line. 4.2-mile run, 42-yard line. Pat used to wear number 42 on his football jersey. Looks forward to running this one every year. See, I was wondering, 4.2-mile run, if this was going to be a PR, but apparently Stacy has done this one before. In St. James, New York, Megan ran the St. James 5-mile challenge. This is a local race for her. Start line about a mile from the house. Another hilly one. Most hilly course she's ever run on in a race, but because it was so close to her home, she kind of knew the area. That helped her out. She finished fourth in her age group. Nice job, Megan. Nashville, Tennessee, the Music City, not Music City, the Music City of, yes, I knew there was a reason I held on to that. The Music City Dairy Dash, Kylie ran this one. What's better than a medal at the finish line? A medal and ice cream, of course. Finished this one with some friends. It was a few of them were doing their first 5Ks. Very cool.
You know what's better than ice cream at the end of the finish line? Would be a Dole Whip.
I think you got a point, John. Let's finish up Saturday. Technically, Marathon Florida, the 7-mile bridge, 7-mile bridge run. Jacqueline was there. Tiffany was there. Super windy. Not unusual when you get out on a bridge out there in an open area like that. So it wasn't too fast. However, the official race distance is 6.8 miles, a distance that Tiffany has never done before. So that's a PR. All right, let's move to Sunday. In Jersey City, New Jersey, the Jersey City Marathon. That's a fairly big event.
It's pretty new, Bob. It's like the second year they run it.
Yeah, I'm thinking of a different one. There's another event in Jersey, another marathon in Jersey that's more popular, I believe. Am I right?
Probably the Atlantic City one?
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah. You're right. So anyway, look, Jersey City Marathon, Lexi was there, Jack was there, Jack left us this race report.
Hello, my friends. This is Jack Witzig, the Camco runner, as you call me, from Merchantville, New Jersey. I just ran the Jersey City Full, and I unreservedly recommend it. I know there were some kinks last year. They seem to have worked those out, had good crowd support, in more populated areas. You know, we ran in Liberty State Park, which is great, but not so many people down there. And there were lots of water stops, Gatorade stops, porta potties along the way. It was good. A mostly flat and fast course, as they call it, save for two hills, which might take a little steam out of your engine, but for the most part, it was very nice. Day got a little bit warm toward the end, which took a bite out of my time personally. But that's an issue with me, and certainly had nothing to do with the course. So yeah, if anybody's looking for a good marathon in the North Jersey, New York City area, a good marathon or half, they did have a half, which starts at the same time as the full. This might be one to look into.
After he left the report, Jack wanted to point out that he knew two people personally who DNF'd this one because they tripped and fell due to potholes. In fact, one of them needed stitches. The city needs to repave this one, it seems. Jack, thanks for leaving us the report. Alicia was in Newport, Rhode Island for the Newport, Rhode Island Marathon. In the Netherlands, our friend Danny ran the Amelosberg Trail Run in Amherden, the Netherlands. I think it's funny that I don't get too much grief about the Dutch names, but I miss the English ones. All right. This one had a 12K option, 17K, and a 21K. 21K is a half marathon. Danny did the half, I believe. He did. Yep. It's just his second trail run. His first one was just a couple of weeks ago. The Netherlands, primarily as a country, is flat as a pancake, but this run had an elevation gain of over 1,000 feet. Reasonably significant. Race went pretty well. Danny took it easy, but of course the uphill portions can be tough. The medal is from the Lonely Oak, which was the halfway point. Great views, great pictures Danny posted. You can tell that springtime is coming to the Netherlands. Good job, good report, Danny. Thank you. In Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, the YMCA Halfity Half 1/8 Marathon. Another one with three distances. A half marathon, a quarter marathon, and an eighth marathon. Allie without an E was there. First time she's ever run a 1/8 marathon. That's a PR. Third in her age group. Way to go, Allie. Only missed second by a couple of seconds. Darn shoelaces. She hadn't had to tie them, you know. She had to stop and tie her shoelaces. Allie says she used to avoid smaller runs, but now she sees an opportunity. Age group finishes. Aha! Yeah, pretty good. They're fun. Good job, Allie. East Hampton, Massachusetts rounds us out on Sunday. The Fort Hill Brewery Half Marathon. Jen was there. Jen's first half marathon, longest race ever. That's a PR. Really wasn't quite prepared for this one. Started out a little bit too fast. Not uncommon, Jen. Little problems compounded, but she did a great job of gutting it out. Lots of lessons learned on this one. That's the way it is for a first half, Jen. Good job. Along with her PR, she met a lot of great folks along the way. Had a good time. Congratulations. The big event this week, the Boston Marathon, Monday. We had several folks running in the Boston Marathon. Ashley was there. Ashley was guiding her father through another major marathon, one that she's spectated for 30 years. Crowds, I mean, we hear legendary crowds in Boston and New York and Chicago and really all of the majors. Crowds were unmatched, kept them moving, slowly but moving. Toward the end, Boston has won Ashley's heart. It's her second major. We mentioned this a bit earlier, I believe. Adam and he's guiding Jen this time. This is not Jen, his wife. I had made that mistake in an earlier race report. This is the Jennifer that Adam guides from time to time. It was warm for a Boston Marathon. I didn't check to see what the temps were, but it was warm. And this is not an easy course. Adam called it the Battle of Heat and Hills. They adjusted their intervals several times, and for their excellent planning, they did great. Jennifer set a course PR on this one. Another one of our Jennifer friends ran her second Boston. It's a tough course. Boston Marathon number 2, Marathon number 12 overall for Jennifer, who finished in 3:44. I think that's pretty good. And finally, I've got a note that Valerie was there, but I don't have any information on Valerie, on how she made out. Don't always talk virtuals, but I think at one point we've mentioned these already. The last of the Disney race weekend virtuals, Jessica finished the Neverland 5K, and Joe finished his springtime surprise 10K.
He got them all done this weekend, Bob.
All right, my friends, and if you run, you know you are our friend. Please look around. See if you see Greg, or me, or Alicia, or getting there later in the week, Jack, because we certainly want to see you. We hope to see you, gosh, at the expo, around the parks, certainly at the meetup before the races. It's the last time we're going to see each other for several months.
And we'll reiterate again, if you see us outside of a racing event, please say hello. We want to meet as many of you as possible. I know there's a lot of people that when they see John out in the wild, they get a little apprehensive and they don't want to go up and say hi to him because they figure they're bothering his vacation or something like that. No, trust me. We love getting to meet everybody. So if you see us outside of a racing event, please say hello.
John is a little scary, Greg.
He is. Yeah, plus, I think the first time this happened, weren't you in the Star Wars store? So you were probably like really locked in or something like that.
You know, it didn't bother me. I had a time in my life. My wife and my friends were like, oh my God, what has just happened?
Yeah, I would say it's pretty common. I can't tell you how much I love it. Can't tell you how much I love going down there and meeting people. So it's pretty common for me to be talking with someone and someone else to come by and say, I didn't want to interrupt you. It's okay. It's okay. We can work around that, I promise. But it's fun. We love it. We look forward to it. All right. No Zoom this Thursday during the race. It would normally be a Zoom week, but we tried it at Princess. It just didn't go. It was okay, but it didn't go that great. So we think it'll be more fun to have the Zoom next Thursday. We can share stories about springtime surprise, and we can talk about the season that just ended and talk about what's coming up. All right, friends, that's it. Episode 134 comes to a close. See you real soon. Until we do, happy running.
The Rise and Run podcast discusses general information about Run Disney and is in no way affiliated with Run Disney or the Walt Disney Company. Any information or advice discussed on this podcast should not be considered medical advice and should always consult with your healthcare provider or event organizer.